You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome to episode 18 of That's Awesome with Joe. I'm Joe. It is, what? I don't even know. Like, it's September. Whoa, it's already September 16th? 16. Damn. That's crazy. I thought it was still the beginning of September. But I guess I flew back, like, September 9th, so that makes sense. Nuts. Well, it's the middle of September. We made it, I guess. How are you doing?
I'm good. I've spent a lot of time working on singing and screaming, so.
Really?
That's always a good time, yeah.
On your own?
Yeah.
Nice. How are you practicing?
Well, I got really amped because Fit for a King did their live stream show.
Yeah, so. It looked sick.
Yeah, I heard Bobby screams and I was like, all right, I need to pick it up and learn how to do that. So I've been working on it.
Tight. That rules. Yeah, their stream looked like insanely good. It was like so well produced.
So yeah, I set up a PA right next to my face and watched it on a big screen.
Jeez, great. Okay. That's tight. Well, anyway, let's just move into this week, because I thought this was a pretty cool interview, and actually this is the first time we've talked about it because Josh was unable to join me and Greg, who was my guest this week, for the interview. But Josh, you just listened to it right before jumping on this call, right?
Yeah.
Cool. So Greg is someone that I know as the drummer of Hollywood Undead. That's how I officially met him. But just another unique story of someone coming into, like, becoming a professional musician. Like, this is a dude that never even started a band, but has somehow ended up in several successful touring groups and stuff like that. So, Josh, what did you think of this one, coming from someone who's a drummer?
Yeah, it was cool. I wish I could have been there, but you know, it was he's a cool dude.
Yeah,
it was different because a lot of the people we've talked to have been like, they start bands when they're, you know, 13, 14, and start touring from there and just go up, and it seemed like he started, you know, at the, you know, touring in,
yeah,
a band, in a band, whatever, and then it seemed like it just went straight up from there.
But it's interesting because I felt like the way that he describes, like, touring in a van was almost like a rite of passage. Like, it wasn't – I don't think it was 100% necessary for him to do it, because he approached, mm-hmm, like, becoming a professional musician as, like, the same way someone decides they want to be a lawyer. Like, he went to school for it and, like, networked and met the right people and, like – put himself in the right positions to, like, meet people and everything. So I thought it's just different, you know? Like, I know very, very few people that have gone that route. And in even sitting with him earlier today, like, I didn't know about half of the things that he had been involved in, and how close we had actually been to crossing paths, like, multiple times, even before Hollywood Undead. So I thought it was really fun. He came over today and actually gave us a care package of some of the weed that he grows and some of the apocalypse stuff, which is his chapstick and candle company, which is pretty cool. So yeah, he's just like a really, really, like, laid back good dude that, like, is very appreciative of everything he's gotten to do, you know?
I liked it a lot because a lot of the people you've talked to have, it's been like they've start, you know, they start touring when they're, you know, like 17, 18, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And I was getting scared because my plan is college and then, you know, starting the touring stuff. And I'm like, right. Oh, frick, dude, like, I don't want to get screwed over and not be able to do that when, you know, but it was just kind of encouraging to see, you know, like there's other ways to go about it.
And, oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And he has, quite the resume at this point, you know, just in the past 10 years. So it's pretty cool. But we won't take up too much time. Josh, is there anything I need to let people know about?
Throne?
Yeah, I was just going to say thank you again to everyone that subscribed to Throne. We do have to do another drawing for a couple other giveaways. We'll do that in the next couple days. But yeah, if you're interested in helping out the podcast, check out Throne. There's a link in our bios on all our social media stuff. And yeah. Let's send it over to the interview. Let me in. I can hear you breathing. You are that sweet sin. I'm the one to need it. All right, we're doing it. We're in it now.
All right.
Hey, man.
How's it going?
Good. So thanks for being here. Thank you for joining. I'll have done the intro thing at this point.
Okay.
So, like, we don't have to do any of that.
Sweet.
And I don't have, like, anything kind of, like, planned out as much as kind of what we always go over, but it's just kind of, like,
we'll touch on chilling. Yeah.
And we're going to hang out.
I'm into it.
Yeah. So let's, like, I just want to tell people, like, what our kind of relationship is
cool. So
far, because whereas some people I've had on the show so far, I haven't known at all. Some of them I've known for a very long time, but there's actually not as many that have been kind of in between a little bit, you know what I mean? So, like, I've only known you for 4 or 5 months, 6 months maybe?
True.
Right?
But we've seen each other in passing maybe years prior.
Maybe.
Yeah.
No way to know for sure, but it's very likely.
That's cool that we reconnect.
Yeah. So, but we met on the last tour that I think either of us were on in Europe when you were out with Hollywood Undead and I was out with Ice Nine.
Papa Roach. That was a really fun tour. Wish we could have finished it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it would have been great. And it was cool. Those were like, I just remember that. That's probably the only tour I'll go on where we play Greece, I would imagine. Like, have you played Greece?
I've never been to Greece. But yeah, no, it was really cool to see parts of Greece and, you know, be able to walk around Athens.
Right. It was sick.
I actually found a really good slice of vegan cheesecake there.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. That was right before we played, so it was like a little treat before the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That's good. All right, so cool. But I want to get into, like, some stuff that I don't know about you, because at this point, all we've really done is, like, hung out around the show and probably got high and then...
Good times.
Yeah. So let's start, like, when did you start getting into music? Like, how did you end up becoming a drummer?
All right. I love this question. I don't have an answer for it, but I'm going to a scripted answer, but I'm just going to flow. So my mom is actually a drummer.
Okay.
She started playing drums when she was pregnant with me.
Okay.
You know, that's really cool. And I guess I'm, you know, kind of proof that it's not that harmful to do if you are pregnant.
yeah,
mother and you want to play drums, go for it. You know,
in fact, they may become a sick drummer.
Hey, that's, you know, if they want to, sure. But yeah, so music was always around growing up. My dad played guitar and wrote songs,
mm-hmm.
Just, you know, for fun and everything. But they had a music room and my mom's drums were set up. And I remember the first time that I actually played the drums, I think I was like 4 years old. And my mom taught me the beat to We Will Rock You. You know,
yeah.
So yep. I can like barely reach the pedals, but I was going, you know, fucking boom, boom, bop, boom, boom, bop. And then she starts dancing around and singing the lyrics. So that was my first like drum moment of like, oh, cool. This is like a thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I didn't really, I wasn't really interested in being a drummer for a while because I was like super into playing baseball. Like I wanted to be a professional baseball player.
Okay.
You know, like. Yeah, all that. So it wasn't till I think maybe I was in sixth grade when, yeah, we were living at a place and the drums were set up in the living room. And, I think, I played or tried to play to Pantera, This Love from Vulgar Display of Power.
Okay. So you were like into heavy music when you
yeah,
like
yeah. My cousins had a band, called, Swim, then they changed it to Dreyfus, and they used to play at the local coffee shop,
okay,
which is like the only place to play in Morro Bay, where I'm from.
And I was just there.
Yeah, no,
it's so sick.
It's
there.
Great. I love it there, and
it's amazing. We camped on the beach there in my car.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was
great. I'm kind of jealous. I haven't been. I was there a few months ago, but it's always great to go back and see friends and family and
yeah.
just. Yeah, it's really tranquil, you know?
Yeah, it's so nice there.
So, you know, as it, you know, because it is so mellow and chill, like, and if you're a kid, you want to rage, you know? So, music was a cool outlet for that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, something to dive into versus whatever else you could have been doing.
Were you a surfer?
I tried it a little bit, but I was terrible at it, and I'm a terrible swimmer, you know?
Yeah, I feel like you have to at least try it if you're there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, being in the water was cool. Like, sometimes when I would go back home, I would just, like, jump in just to feel it and jump out, you know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
But I never, like, really got into that part of of that area. But, yeah, so I was just really into music, and my cousins had a band, and I thought that was cool, and then, they would invite me to their garage where they had band practice, and it was cool to see them play and communicate, and they introduced me to a lot of the bands that, you know, I grew up listening to, and I mm-hmm. still love, which is awesome, and it's cool when things come kind of full circle, too.
Right,
like,
right.
I can get into that later, just like the little side stories, but started playing in bands. In high school, but they were mainly like, you know, my mom's friends that were 40, 50 or okay. you know, 60 or
yeah, yeah.
whatever. So I was like always the young kid.
What kind of tunes were you playing?
It was all blues. It
okay,
was,
cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So my mom, she like mainly is a blues drummer, and, my first gig, I guess, like professional one that I actually got paid for, I was, 14. And it was at a bar in Los Osos. That was my first exposure
first
to like,
paying gig
to,
at 14.
You know, playing bar gigs. And it was cool because my parents were really, really supportive of my interest in drums. And they would, you know, like drive me to the gig at 9 or 8, whatever, to unload and set up. And then they would show back up at 2 in the morning to, you know, take me home, you know?
Yeah, that's cool.
So that's really cool. They were supportive of that. And then, I can vibe, or you have any more specific questions?
No, keep going. I
cool,
love
cool.
this. I love the timeline.
All right, cool. And then,
So you were playing blues stuff with like your mom and her friends pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. So they taught me a lot about, you know, playing with musicians and
right.
playing my part.
Were they all like seasoned, like really, really good musicians and
totally,
stuff?
Totally. Yeah.
That's cool.
They,
see, I remember like the first time I played with like people that I was like, whoa, we're actually like making something that sounds cool was like my middle school jazz band.
Oh, sweet.
You know, and I just remember that like, because before that I was just playing along to shit and nothing ever was like super exciting until
there's,
like
yeah there's a fair
together.
Bit of that too. I feel like it's all in the discovery, you know, you gotta find where your joy is, and you have to try a bunch of things that eventually lead you to something that makes sense, I guess,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I would play, we had a band in high school called Violent Jazz. Okay. And, so that was like, cool to play with my peers, play like rock music. And, yeah, that was a cool outlet for that. And then
is it what it sounds like it would be?
It was almost like at the drive-in meets like Dredge kind of
that's
vibes.
Sick.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like a big fan of both of those bands.
Yeah, so
that's
sick. Just kind of like I was really into like intricate rock and like
proggy
fusion
stuff.
Drummers, but then I had friends that showed me like punk rock and just the energy behind that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was even a skill to, you know, dive into, accept and try to execute, and
right,
something
right.
I still try
different
to do.
Style.
Yeah, just like right. whatever you play, I want, you know, you want to put yourself into it and bring that energy and life force.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah, kind of tried school band, but was never into it, like, because I was kind of like gigging too, and it conflicted with
the
school band stuff.
Did your school band actually have like a drum set, or was it like really?
Yeah, so- there was jazz band.
Okay,
and,
so jazz band, yeah, we did. But
yeah.
It was like we weren't allowed – I couldn't do jazz band in high school because if you had to be in regular band too. It's some like weird stupid rule, and it always bummed me out because I loved being in jazz band, but we only had like a marching band, and I didn't want to play
that
any
could
of
be
those
cool
instruments.
Too.
No, it would have been cool, and in hindsight, I wish I had done it with trumpet because I love trumpet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess marching band for drummers is probably the coolest.
Yeah, but I wasn't a drummer, really. You know what I mean? Like
you didn't want to march with a trombone
or
and,
like,
and break your back or something.
Right.
No, it was cool. Like I had some private instructors for drums in high school that were fantastic jazz drummers, and they taught me a lot about just the facility and like proper drumming. But then I was also just trying to figure it out too, and I knew I wanted to be a professional drummer in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of, you know, I didn't necessarily know where I wanted to be, but I went to the Musicians Institute.
Well, were you looking to be like a professional drummer, or did you want to be in like a band?
Yeah, I guess both-ish.
Yeah, and, but you knew that it wasn't just like, oh, I need to be in a band that gets big.
I think I just wanted to play music in front of like a lot of people at once. You
right.
know?
I guess like I'm just trying to think back of like when I was younger, or like, you know, freshman, sophomore in high school, if I even knew like that there were just professional guys that just kind of like bounce around.
True.
Or,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I always thought like, oh, there's the band. Like they've been playing together forever.
No,
you know?
There's something desirable about that. And then I would watch like, you know, all these award shows on MTV or whatever they were. And I would notice, I would see the same drummers like play for all these different people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh man, that seems pretty exciting. You know, I wonder who these guys are. And then you start to kind of research and figure
right.
out, oh, that's a thing. So yeah, that became kind of like a reality of something to be pursued.
Right.
Which inspired me to, you know, move to LA and go to music school to try to get involved in that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm glad I did, because, there probably would have been other ways to, you know, figure it out. But, the music school was helpful for me at the time, I guess.
Also, with just networking in a city like this.
Oh, yeah, totally.
In LA, it's, like, huge.
Yeah, I still talk to a lot of the people that I went to school with. Actually, the first band that I played in there was who is now Anderson .Paak. So I'm like, dude,
what?
Yeah, I'm so proud of him. Like, he's so.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he's
sick.
Always had the sauce,
wow.
You know, the special sauce.
Yeah.
And I've learned so much.
So dope.
I've learned so much from him, just like as a musician and a person, because like he puts so much of his soul into his art, you know, and he was an incredible drummer. He still is. And he was in the drum program just for like a little bit. And he was like, you know, already killing, and, you know, didn't need school, but it was just really cool that he was there, you know?
Yeah. That's wild.
And, my sister choreographed, a couple things he's done or been involved with too.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
So you've got like a whole family of creatives, huh?
Totally. Yeah. So my mom is a dancer. She owned a dance studio, And, you know, she would drum in bands on the weekends and stuff. So it's cool that, yeah, my sister became a choreographer and, you know, I'm a drummer.
Yeah.
And, yeah, she's, like, really involved in, like, the hip-hop world. Yeah, she choreographs for a lot of people. Like, she
did
a video for Busta Rhymes.
Oh, wow. Was it really fast?
You know? it was cool. It was featuring Busta Rhymes. It was kind of like a reggae artist, I think.
That's cool.
No, yeah, I love it. He's awesome.
Yeah, he is awesome. He's really entertaining.
And then, so yeah, continuing on that journey, like I to get to music school, I was like working tile construction for my dad, like after high school, to like save money to like go there. So that was cool. He taught me like pretty much how to like work and like get it done. You know,
right.
You know, like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like get dirty and like make it happen. And I got so dirty that I was like, you know, maybe there's something that I can do that I don't have to.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like lime.
You yeah. Explored that option.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's still fun to, you know, do like that, right. That type of work. But yeah, I went through school and I was doing these auditions at the school, through Barry Squire. He was hosting these hiring halls and, I didn't get like any of the gigs, like all, like the whole year and a half of being there. Like I went on like every audition. I was like so hungry to just like get a gig and like start, you know, doing the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, graduated school and, I was like trying to find bands and stuff to play with and all that. So I think I went on like,
when was this? Like what year?
This was 2008.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went on Craigslist and like found this, ad, that a touring band needed a drummer.
This is like the early early days of Craigslist.
Yeah, like when you can like still find music, like
things
connections
were,
there.
Right. Yeah. It was like a real classifieds place.
Yeah. So like I ended up doing a van tour. It was like a 3.5 van tour across the country, a 3.5 month van tour with like 4 dudes like all sleeping like either in the van and like Walmart parking lots.
I was curious if you had a grinding experience.
Yeah. Or it was, you know, just like strangers.
What was the band?
It's a guy named Andy Frasco.
Okay.
Yeah, he still plays too. He like plays a lot in Germany and he draws like cool crowds and he's all about like, you know, the community, the crowd and making it a big party, which is awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was exciting.
It's about the same time that I started touring.
About 2008-ish?
I think we did our first, and then my first tour was also, I think it was a 4.5 month long van tour with my band. I think it was 2009, I want to say.
Like, for me, I realized that like people are just like really nice.
Or yeah.
People were really nice.
Or people want to help, like.
Exactly. They're like, do you guys need a place to stay?
Yeah, yeah.
You need food or whatever?
Some people wanted to help so bad that they would say they had nice stuff
just to be able to help
and then not have it. Just to hang out. But, yeah.
But you just kind of got to roll with it. And you got to figure, hey, is sleeping in the van better than sleeping on this random person's couch?
Right. Yeah. Sometimes it was.
There was a time where we actually needed to get out. It was crazy. Like the bass player knew this guy in El Paso, Texas, who was in the army or something. And we went out, I think our gig got canceled or something. So we just went out drinking with him, but we didn't know he had to, you know, be at what's it called? Roll call or whatever in the morning where they do, just the physical part.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was like maybe 6 a.m. for him. And, yeah, so we were out just kind of having fun, and he offered us to stay on, you know, like his house, which is like on the army grounds.
Right, sure.
And this guy gets so hammered. I mean, this is probably kind of weird, but he pulls out like his gun. Like he said he like sleeps with a gun, and he's like waving it around. And maybe we should just cut this part out because I'm going dark.
No, this is great. No, do you know what's funny is I just had someone else on, and this is a very, very similar story.
Okay, yeah.
Very similar.
So, yeah. We just basically felt really unsafe there.
Yeah, because the guy had a gun.
Yeah, and he was, drunk. You know, like one of 3 other roommates that were staying in that same housing space. So we didn't know if they were like-minded or whatever. But basically, we bailed and we, you know,
good move.
Headed to the Walmart.
Good old Walmart.
And the guy that parked the van, he didn't know it was like where all the big semis line up to. So we woke up and we were just like in a block,
in between
a
them,
block
right?
of
yeah.
semis, like, yep. and we just kind of had to wait till they left to get out because they weren't moving.
We've gotten that.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like every, you know, if you want to pursue a life in the arts, you know, and that involves exploration, I feel like, you know,
you have to take advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah. Cause it's, you know,
it's also
all,
like just fun. Like those were the best tours.
They are like, it's yeah. You kind of reflect on those and it gives you a lot more gratitude when things are nice, you know? Because some people, they might go from A to Z and not know the difference or, you know, like their scale is different. Like their worst is, you know, on a far different scale than what your worst is.
For sure. Yeah. Like eating cold canned soup.
Yeah. No, it was actually kind of really cool. We had those Chipotle burrito bucks.
Yep.
So we probably ate Chipotle like, you know.
We took advantage
a few
of that
times
stuff
a day.
A lot, the Taco Bell stuff. Chipotle.
We would even trade them. We would get burritos and, you know, make deals with people just like, hey, we'll trade you this for that burger. Or,
really?
Or like, not burger necessarily, but
right.
just things,
That's
you know.
Sick.
Burrito currency.
Right.
Yeah. Don't tell Chipotle. They'll take away the burrito buck.
Yep, yep. Yeah, to take advantage of those. What was that? What's that spot in Colorado that used to make? They still do.
Qdoba?
No, it was like it's a spot you would tell them, hey, we're on tour, we're coming through, and they would say, okay, come through, we got food for you.
Oh, that's cool.
I think it Felipe's?
I don't even know.
Called that. It's cool. I think they still do it, I think.
Yeah, Colorado's beautiful. That's another part about like van touring is you really get to see like a lot of the country.
Yeah.
Like driving through Vail when it's all snowy.
Yeah.
Is just yeah, there's certain experiences that are worth, you know, kind of going through those
100%.
rough moments. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you hit some really, really cool spots.
You can have like the worst morning ever, but then like the best night or vice versa. And just kind
of
like,
you also see a whole lot of nothing too.
You hold on nothing, which makes you a bit creative in a way too. Like,
well, I think that whole area is really pretty too. Like just flat nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just kind of room for your, things to expand, I guess.
Yeah.
yeah. So I guess taking it back to, or just vibing from there. I started, you know, I did a couple of those tours with him and then started teacher assisting at the music school.
Oh, cool.
And, so I was doing that for a while and this was, 2008 or 9, I think, which was like, not a good time to like try to find a job because like everyone
was
getting fired.
Yeah.
So I was like applying everywhere, just like trying to make it happen, you know. And it was wild because that's when one of my buddies that was in the drum program told me about Selena Gomez band. So yeah, it came together pretty cool, and we had like so many fun experiences, and we're right along side of the journey of her journey, and we're, you know, the band like supporting that and
that was cool.
Awesome.
So you went from doing like grindy van tours straight into
it's kind of the polar
situation.
Opposite of the spectrums, you know.
Right.
I feel like from you know then till now I've been kind of doing everything in between, you know.
Yeah.
So anytime, you know, you could play music is good because essentially you're doing the same thing but just in different arenas, you know.
Right Have you at the time, had you done anything, even like one-off things that were that scale, or was this like diving into a complete like different situation, different type of venue, different type of treatment, everything?
I guess you know, I kind of had been preparing in my own way just to be a professional musician, and a lot of the gigs, like the bar gigs with the blues bands and doing like Battle of the Bands and like playing at school and playing out, like I think my first gig in LA was at BB King's.
Okay.
Then like the Roxy or like On the Rocks,
right,
that
yeah,
place
yep,
there
yep,
so
yep, yep.
I was like doing gigs but nothing to where like, you know, the world was watching, like,
right.
You know what I mean?
And I even mean like the experience, like the like catering and like having nice green rooms and the bus and, you know, all that shit.
No, that was awesome. So we were a band, Selena and the Scene was a band for like 2 years before our first actual like US tour.
Okay.
Yeah, so in the first part we were doing a lot of like weekend shows and promotional dates, and then we would do like kind of like mini tours, like 2 week things or something.
Got it. Yeah.
And yeah, I think it was 2011 was the first time we had like the bus tour. And that was awesome because it was my first time on a bus tour. It was a brand new bus. And yeah, so already you're styling. Cause,
right.
Cause you know, since then, like I've literally been on buses where like I'd be in my bunk and, like, you know, sometimes they bring the bus through like a wash station or something, like a power wash.
Yeah. And you can feel
and yeah,
it.
There's a leak. There's a leak in the, in
oh,
somewhere.
You, oh,
so like I'd have like water dripping
oh,
inside, like, you know, knocking on my forehead or something. But, yeah, yeah. So,
these buses were like legit. Like every bus I've been on in my career has been in the last year and a half.
Oh, cool.
And it's like every bus we've gotten has been better than the last. So I just like am constantly like, this is fucking sick.
No, it's really exciting and it kind of makes you feel like you're doing it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then, you know, then there's also the challenge of just like, it's almost equivalent to, you know, sharing a tiny apartment with, you know, 10 to 12 people or something too.
Right.
So,
but it just feels like nothing to me after sharing, even tiny
like
with like
actually sleeping, you know, by the foot of somebody or something.
Right.
Yeah, because everyone has their own space and, you know, everyone has their own room to like lay down whenever they want.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a luxury.
Yeah,
a lot
and
of
someone
times
else,
you know,
is driving.
Yeah, someone else is driving. You just kind of get to enjoy the ride and play, you know,
use a microwave,
play
if
Nintendo
want,
Switch, you
watch
know,
movies.
Yeah, and let, you know, you stumble off.
There's always cold drinks. There's
no
pee bottles anywhere.
It's styling. You know, there is one rule on the bus. And
there is.
You will learn that rule if you walk onto a bus.
Have you experienced someone breaking that rule?
I guess not literally, but I do have a story.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's do it.
So, you know, it's more of a, like a legend. no, it may or may not be true. The characters will remain unnamed. But I think it was this girl's first tour and she was part of like, a promotional part of the tour and she wasn't going to be on the whole thing. I don't think just kind of like for the first few weeks or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or a couple or something. But she walks onto a bus that she thinks is hers because it was like, it was full on. It was like,
just a Hulk.
Yeah.
Convoy.
Yeah. 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 Buses, just, you know, big production.
Right.
So she walks on the crew bus, like OGs, right? These guys.
Yeah.
They've toured with like U2. And
right. They're
like every band they'll tell you too, you know?
yeah. Yeah.
It's super. They have all the fun stories. It's awesome. But apparently she broke the rule on their bus.
Oh no.
Realize that, oh, this isn't my bus, leaves and, you know, finds herself on her bus, but then, you know, someone finds her remains of what she left on the crew bus. Yeah, yeah. And,
I love it. I hope people can figure out what we're talking about by now. There's no way.
Totally.
They can't, right?
She pooped
obvious.
On the bus.
Yeah.
She pooped.
No pooping on the bus. You know how I
you
learned that rule?
It.
I learned that rule far before I started touring or anything because I had a Story of the Year DVD. And there was a part in the DVD where they just started talking about how you can't poop on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And then it flashed over to one of them. I don't know who it was, just pooping into a trash barrel on the bus. Yeah.
Or no, MTV used to have all these shows. And then they followed No Doubt too, and Adrian Young called it the bag of shame.
The bag of shame.
It's the bag of shame.
That's good. That's
and you
good.
You gotta like let the driver know you gotta throw it out. never have I been a part of that.
Me neither.
Which I'm very.
Just get control of your butthole, you know.
Yeah, I think you gotta just subconsciously just you know
you're only on the bus
program
for like
yourself to just figure it out.
At the most, you're on the bus for 7 hours, right? Or 8 hours. What's the limit that they're allowed to drive? I don't know what it is.
I'm not sure, but but you know, sometimes there's a limit. Sometimes there are all those long drives, but you always stop for food
you
or something.
You have to stop. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's fun. So yeah, that's like another level to experiencing this life that I, you know, didn't necessarily like know what it would be like when I, you know, wanted to do it growing up, you know what I mean? So it's a really fortunate thing to be able to, you know, travel and have these experiences and do what you love to do.
Yeah.
And you know, like you're not it's just part of the experience. Yeah,
right. There's a lot of it's just a different lifestyle.
Yeah, you know? Like I don't know if I'd ever pick up and go to Serbia, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but yeah, we walked around this tour and saw this really cool fortress that had been there since like the 1400s or longer than
really
that. Yeah, so that's just like a really cool perk.
Man,
you
know? I walked through Serbia and we found a just I don't know what you call, like, it was just an area like between like a rotary or whatever, like a field that we had to walk across, and we walked across it and it was just full of dead animal parts, like just not like bones, like parts, like an eye and like a piece
That's
of a
disturbing.
Skull. And, yeah. And it was just full of them, and as they were like pretty fresh.
As a fellow vegan.
Right.
It was I imagine you'd be very offended.
I was more like, where the fuck am I? Where I'm just walking through a field.
It could be a sign like, do not proceed. You know?
Right. To the other side of the rotary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like kind of like, you gotta stay in the safe zone.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, why the hell else would you have gone there? You know, or any like that whole part of that tour, I felt like that.
It's cool
it
too.
A lot of those places were super cool.
I'm sure you've kind of like absorbed just, you know, like around the world there's just different energies and cultures, and you see that people kind of have a different way of living, like subtle different ways, but it could be, you know, as simple as like, you know, in this town everyone says hi to each other, you know, like,
no, I know,
you know,
yeah,
or whatever,
very basic behaviors that people have like in different
areas. Yeah, or like this town, like there's like everyone's hustling, like this guy has a taco stand, this guy is selling whatever, you know, there's,
I mean, you can even do that in the United States too.
That's true.
You know,
it would almost be kind of crazy to, you know, to go down streets we're familiar with and see that kind of culturally implemented
right.
there.
Yeah.
But that's what makes, I guess, different parts of the world exciting, is like you get a little something different everywhere you go.
I just love I love architecture and like just, you know, the way it feels.
I've been super into you know, I watch a lot of Ancient Aliens.
Oh yeah.
So yeah,
okay.
One of the fun ones was going to see Stonehenge.
Uh-huh.
And
I've never been.
And also Teotihuacan. It's the I think they're Aztec pyramids.
Yeah, that's in Mexico.
Yeah, or? Yeah, it's like 30 miles outside Mexico City.
Yeah, I haven't gone there either.
But that was really cool. And there's this guy that he, you know, his name's Gorilla. It's like Gorilla Tours is what he advertised as. But he grew up around the area and he had special access to these pyramids, and he was gonna take us underneath them. And I didn't even know that there wasn't underneath to them, but you know, they were about to close down the whole place, so we didn't have time to do that as well as climb it. And
yeah,
we did this cool like ceremony on top with the whole tour group, and went back to his house, and he showed us all these like cultural feather dresses. So it was like a fun little thing.
Yeah.
You know, they fed us. Their family had a bakery, and they gave us coffee and.
Oh,
pastries
sounds
and
like
stuff.
You found like the right tour.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Cool.
But he said that the last time he had climbed up the top of the Pyramid of the Sun was with Sting, like like six or seven years earlier.
Wow.
But it was 2012, so he wanted to go up and do the ceremony that we did.
Yeah, yeah. Because that was when the world was gonna end.
Yeah, yeah. So it was, I think, January 2012. So it was like a really special, unique thing that like,
That's cool.
Not everyone gets to experience.
Yeah.
We all sat in a circle with these red
headbands. When did you do
bands.
This?
Sorry?
When was this?
2012? It was...
was this with...
Yeah, we were on a South American tour with Selena. Yeah, in 2012. And that was one of the first shows,
I've
I think,
never been to South
Mexico
America.
City.
I heard those shows are insane.
It was really cool. Yeah, the people there are really appreciative of live music.
I heard it's
and,
nuts.
And it's an energy that yeah, like... It's unique of its kind for sure, especially Brazil, and if anyone from Brazil listens to this, like they know what's up. Like
they're
all about the energy there.
I
want
to play Brazil real bad. Like everyone I've talked to says it's nuts. Those
it's also
shows are crazy.
Yeah, we got to go to these cool rock formations called Sugarloaf. You take these almost like zip line things up, and when you take the line up to the second kind of mountain. Like rock mountain, there's all these tiny little monkeys that they can fit in like the palm of your hand. They're so small, but like you don't want to touch them or anything.
Right.
They're just that big or small.
That's sick.
Anyway, a little side note, you know, we woke up early and did that and,
that's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Like we wanted to make a point to,
did you always have, what was the schedule like when on those tours? Was it a lot of days off?
It was
a pretty big production, right?
Yeah, we would do like normally two or three shows like in a row. We wouldn't ever do more than three shows in a row, I think.
How many like buses were with a tour?
I'm not sure. I think maybe like four or five with people, and then they had
semis
driving around the staging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it wasn't until maybe like a year ago that I got to play with Fire, with Pyro.
Right, with...
Yeah, with Hollywood Undead.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We played a show in Moscow, and that was the first time that I got to play with Fire, and it was like... It was really hot, and it was super exciting. Like the first... I was there for when they tested it, because I wanted to see kind of how it felt, so I wouldn't
be
surprised when it happened. And, Yeah. Like I felt it. I was like, okay, cool. That's really warm. And, but it's going to be cool. But you know, when it's all in motion and the flames kick in, it's like the adrenaline just like skyrockets.
Oh,
it's
wow.
So cool. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
So sick.
Yeah. That's another place.
I'm scared
where
of that. Cause I'd be the dude that fucked up and like stood right over it.
Well, there's markers on the stage.
I'm not looking at markers.
Yeah. And then,
do you know how many times I almost destroyed your guys' mover, the light, like that was sitting right behind me. I think I almost knocked that thing over like every night.
It's hard a bit, like, because I mean I'm stationed in one place, but you know, you guys are moving around and getting into it, but like everything's black.
Yeah.
And not only
and our
do you
space is limited,
yeah,
too.
Not only do you have to like concentrate on your hands and your vocals, but like, you know, you're telling me you gotta like not hit this piece of tape that's on the ground, you know,
in my trench coat that's swinging around.
Yeah. But you know, fortunately the people operating those are cognizant of that. And,
they know,
they have your best interests in mind.
Right.
Yeah, so that's the cool part.
Well, that's cool. So you got to where was like the weirdest place you went with Selena in that time frame, or coolest place, like that you wouldn't have gone to otherwise.
Like, define weird, you know?
I guess not. Well, let's say unique. Like, where's a place that where you haven't gone with anyone else?
I guess, like what comes to mind, like, there in Uruguay, there was this, like, stage that we played on that just looked like an Erector set. Like, if you ever had an Erector set growing up, it's like these kind of, this, like, janky steel pieces that together.
Right. Yeah.
It looked like that the stage was built from that. It did hold, but
there's a question on whether it would the
and
whole
you know
time.
Like the bathrooms, they were all, there were no toilets with the seats. You would have to like there were the ones that were just holes in the ground.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was like kind of like, I've never been in that situation before.
How was the show?
Show was great. It was the last show on the South American tour, actually.
Really?
So it was just like a celebratory
was it a big
event.
Crowd?
Yeah. The crowd was there. They were really cool. But those were just like the conditions of that show.
Right,
so like,
right.
Yeah, even I guess it goes back to I'm really fortunate to have the, you know, the van touring experiences too, because even when you're playing with you know, a group or something that plays shows of that size or something like that, yeah, they're still like not gonna always be the most desirable conditions. Like, you gotta just kind of flow with it, you know what I mean? And then yeah, because no one's really like entitled to anything. It's just kind of like you gotta just make do what you got,
right?
And sometimes sometimes it's really nice, sometimes it's you're squatting on a pot.
No. So how long did you end up touring with Celino? When did that wrap up?
It was 2009 that band started, and then my last show with her was 2014.
When did we maybe cross paths?
I think it was on the tour, because you said, you know,
must have been All-Star, 2011.
Because you said, right? You know, All-Star Weekend, right?
Yeah, because those guys, I was playing in a band with the guys that like wrote the whole album, pretty much, I guess.
Totally. So, yeah. That was 2011, mm-hmm. The We on the Night tour.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we probably hung out that night. It's very possible.
At the Mohegan Sun. Place is awesome, by the way.
Yeah,
it's just a good time. They say it's haunted.
Really?
I think they do. I mean, I could have just made that up.
That's funny.
But I want to share a fun, I mean, not even a fun story, but like, I remember, I have this memory, we were in Poland. You and I went out to, it was like the Sheraton bar that was like,
yeah,
literally right across the street from the venue.
This was in, it was in Poland. In Poland, you're right.
And you're like, oh man, the gate's locked, I got to take this long way. And I'm like, all right, cool. And it, like, I remember being there, and I was waiting for you for like 30 minutes. And I was like, oh man, he said he was like right across the street. I wonder what's taking him so long. Like, just kind of like timed him. Not that I was like...
Because it should have been a two-minute walk.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and literally then, across the street.
And then I think, you know, like, you had dipped out earlier than I did, but you had texted me the address because they had locked the gate to the whole complex. Like, you couldn't even get in. No one was going to open the gate for you.
Nope.
It was like, if you weren't part of what was going on here, then you're done. If you left, then figure it out.
Right.
Kind of thing. Yeah, and I remember, like, you texted me the address, and I was walking, and then I kept walking, and I pulled up the GPS, and then I looked. I had like 3% left on my phone.
Oh God!
And I saw where the because you gave me the GPS coordinates to like a fence I had to hop or something.
Yeah,
like that.
That's right. I remember. I had found the only spot to get in the fence without having to walk like 2 miles.
And like it was in some like neighborhood that. If I didn't know how to get back in, I would have never found it. Like,
yeah.
Or there was one other fence that was like spiked and like graded that I would have just destroyed myself.
Yeah, they had like barbed wire and shit.
Yeah, yeah. So like, if it wasn't for you, like, I don't know where I would have ended up that night.
I know.
It could have been the hospital.
Because I wasn't even out that long. I remember being like, I know I'm going to have to find my way back in. I think I stayed there for like 20 or 30 minutes before I dipped.
And then once I hopped that fence, I still was kind of like, trying to get my bearings because it was a full industrial complex.
Yeah,
with like
so crazy
with all these dead ends.
We basically played in an airport hangar that day.
Oh yeah, it was cool. Right.
It was cool.
Yeah, really good food that day. I remember that.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh dude, that was the best catering because we had those vegan chefs too.
Yeah, they
in Germany.
Oh yeah, the German vegan chefs were
lovely
probably the
and
the sweetest.
I forget the other guy's name.
Just most boss dudes that you'll ever meet. They're like, they look like, if you didn't know them and they wanted to be intimidating, you'd be intimidated.
Yeah.
But they were just the warmest people, which is cool.
They were great. And that guy was a vegan chef and he made the best food.
It
was so good.
He should be
all the desserts
on a Food
were
Network
vegan.
Show or a Netflix special or something.
They were intensely good. Yeah.
Yeah, my cousin actually lives in Hamburg. I have a cousin that's born there, and he does tattoos. So one of the tours we did, he actually gave a couple of the guys in our crew some tattoos.
Oh, really?
And then he let me tattoo him. He has a leg that is like a friends and family leg, you know?
Oh, that's
so
cool.
So I got to, you know, do a little art on him and sign it.
I've given one tattoo to my roommate who had a gun. Back in Salem, and he said, I could do whatever I want. So I asked him if I could do a Bruins logo, and I did. But it's just a B with a circle around it. But I didn't know what I was doing.
Beats headphones.
I had never seen anyone even get a tattoo. Like, I had no idea what it looked like.
It's tricky because
It's so hard. It looks horrible. I'll show you a picture of it. It's awful.
It's all about the touch, because if you press hard, then the line's going to be thick, but you don't want to press too light. And
yeah,
it's like, yeah, it's a feel thing for sure. I have none personally, but
I don't either.
I'd be down to give more, you know.
I would not after I saw what I did. No one should allow me to do that.
Yeah, but it's been cool to, you know, in the music stuff that I've done, like, it's been cool to do a lot of the things in the pop world.
Yeah.
And then do stuff in like the rock world. So yeah, which kind of feels a little more.
What happened after Selena? Like, you transitioned into.
So yeah, the first band I started playing with after that was Filter.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah. So,
whoa.
A friend of mine was playing drums for them and recommended me, which was awesome. And I got in touch with Richard Patrick, and the first thing he asked me, he like called me on the phone, was, "Hey man," he's like, "this is Richard Patrick." The first thing he asked, not like, "how you doing," blah blah blah. He just goes, "could you play double bass?" And you know, I had a double bass pedal, and I was like, you know, I messed around with it, but I never like actually implemented it in a professional setting.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, hell yeah, dude, I fucking love that shit, you know, or whatever.
Gotta get the gig.
Yeah, I was just, yeah, so I went out and I got like a brand new double bass pedal that I was, you know, comfortable with. And I still have that same one too. I love it. But just started diving into that and getting into, you know, kind of almost like switching gears and approaches.
Yeah.
Which is cool because like pop is like really like intricate, but it still has the energy.
It's very precise.
It's very precise. And like, you know, rock is also, but it
more vibey,
it requires a lot more like oomph, like, yeah. You know what I mean? Just like,
feel.
You gotta open up and just like let it out, which, it's cool because since I've been kind of like more in that realm lately, whenever I play pop now, I try to bring that same energy and precision to it. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right. Right.
I love all those styles of music and just how they kind of find each other, you know.
How long did you do that with
Filter? Oh yeah, Filter was it's kind of still ongoing, just kind of like I'm part of like a roster, I guess.
Got it.
So yeah, like because we all, you know, have other bands we play with and everything, so it kind of works out to where Rich has a few guys he can call, and then if he has something going on, you know, one of us will be available.
Right, right.
And yeah, all great guys, and we all love each other and support each other, and yeah, so it's, you know, and that music is great too. It's like so fun to play.
I bet, dude. That sounds so fun to play.
And so one of my funnest Filter moments, and kind of like most nostalgic too, was we were playing a festival in Texas, and it was the same one that the Deftones were headlining.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. And I had been like a huge Deftones fan because my cousin's band, from growing up, they used to cover Head Up from.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. From, what's the album called?
Head Up wasn't on.
After Adrenaline.
It wasn't on White Pony, was it?
It was before White Pony. Yeah. Someone knows. Someone's listening. Like,
yeah.
It's like,
God, yeah. It's in like the tip of my tongue. I can't remember.
Yeah, but it was like kind of like talked about that Chino might come on stage and sing while we're like during our set, and it was never confirmed, but we're playing Take a Picture, you know, one of the biggest Filter songs.
Love that song.
Yeah, and Chino just comes up, and you know, they hand him a mic, and his voice is already in my in-ears. And he starts singing. I'm like, what the fuck?
That's
like,
so tight.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So I was like, this is a moment because, you know, I grew up playing to that whole album. And
right.
Yeah, like that was a big one that influenced me for sure.
Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Where was that?
That was in Lubbock, Texas.
Ooh.
Lubbock, Texas.
What was the venue?
it was outdoors, a festival. It was like Killswitch Engage. Who else played there? Vinnie Paul's band, Hell Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and you just and the
with Hell Yeah.
The tour that I didn't do, like after I think I got another gig playing with a band, but Filter did a tour after I stopped that, and I think the last show they went to Vinnie Paul's house. Oh, I was really? Like, oh man, I'm so jealous. Yeah, because Pantera is like my favorite band.
Oh yeah,
for sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And the more like I try to play to those records, I'm like, yeah, dude, that's where it's at in terms of that style of drumming.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's tight.
What was I talking about?
So you were a Filter. You kind of wrapped up with them, or you had said you'd taken another gig, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So from time and time again, like, you know, we'll do shows like, yeah, hopefully we'll do more
ongoing
when
project.
We can, when we could play shows again.
Mm-hmm.
And then my buddy, actually hurt his foot on a tour. He was playing for Zella Day. And then,
okay,
yeah, I got to do a month of touring with her, which is cool.
Nice.
Opening for Michael Franti.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. And he's like amazing. And those are like, you know, bring your grandma and your kids and your cousins. It's like, yeah, it's just like a big like unity festival.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's great. So that was fun. And
man, you're going like all over the place with styles.
Yeah, no, I guess the one of the coolest and like most nervous I've ever been to play a show, it was the Kennedy Center Honors.
Wow.
Like every year, like, yeah, people in politics honor the arts.
Right, yeah.
So like they focus on like five people every year. And that year it was Sting, Al Green, Tom Hanks, Lily Tomlin.
I watched this.
And yeah. So I
watched that.
So I was the drummer in the tribute to Tom Hanks, and
what?
We played That Thing You Do with the Pentatonix.
Oh, wow.
Singing it. Yeah.
Amazing.
And yeah, that was all live, and I think they edited it down. But
I have a side note on that.
Sure.
I don't know if you know this about me. Every tweet that I have done in the past 10 years has been at Tom Hanks.
No kidding.
Yeah, because so, I won't stop until he responds.
Side note, I mean, before, so like, I think Tom Hanks and I are kindred spirits in a way, because before he was posting the random gloves on the street,
yep.
I was doing that when I first got Snapchat.
You were posting the other gloves.
I was, yeah. No, like when I was on tour, that was a thing I was doing for a second. I was just like,
he ripped it off.
I found all these abandoned gloves and I would just post them. And I stopped doing it, but I saw Tom Hanks doing it. I'm like, hey, we might think similarly.
Yep.
I mean, yeah.
Hey,
minus whatever, like, stuff might be going around conspiracy theory wise in the conspiracy theory world,
right?
Excluded from that, but no, that was
that's not
very special, because yeah, also that movie is rad. That thing
I
you do,
I love that movie. I love that.
It's
movie.
A great one. You know, like
no,
almost.
I love how everyone knows that song and nobody knows it's from that movie. Everyone thinks it's like the Beatles.
Shades. The dude from that movie, he used to go to the gym I went to. I saw him. I was on the treadmill and I saw him walking in front of me. So those are like weird, like, oh yeah, you live in LA when you just like see
right
random
yeah
stuff.
I haven't experienced that at all because no one's out.
I feel like now, you know? No one has to go out like with Postmates and stuff.
Well,
like,
no one wants to be out right now.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So that's when was that?
That was, I think, 2014 or 15.
Mm-hmm.
And then
crazy.
Yeah, I was touring with a band called Cardinox, and they're signed to Warner. We toured with Carly Rae Jepsen for a
Sick.
Little bit.
Wait, oh, dude, that's like, you know, that's my dream gig is to play for her.
They're
her
all
new
great.
Shit is unfucking believable.
It's actually
her
like
last like two albums have been amazing.
She's incredible live. Like everyone knows her because of Call Me Maybe. And that song still hits like every night.
I agree.
Night.
I think that song is great. But no. I love like this like synthy like 80s vibe
I support
she's
it.
Got going on.
And
now.
It's cool because she's kept her same band too. They're all from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all very, very talented at what they do. And they have a cool bond.
Isn't the bass player, did he play in
a different band? Yes, I know who you're talking about.
Academy is.
Academy is, yeah.
Right.
The keyboard player of Cardinox is a big fan of all the Scene bands.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so he hit me to all that. Yeah, no, yeah. He was stoked.
Yeah.
What's up, Chris?
That's sick.
Yeah, then
Man, I can't even keep track of how many things that you've done. It's a lot.
No,
I had no idea that you were this much.
It's always exciting. It's always something new and fun. And I was actually before I you know, the reason I'm playing with Hollywood Undead is one of the guys in the band had a kind of like a side project, like a fun band that would just play out and play covers called Han Cholo. And a drummer buddy of mine, Sean, recommended me to do that because he had a drummer buddy, Nate, and we're all homies. So, you know, because like we all share like, you know, gigs and, you know, gear or whatever we need and stuff that. So, yeah, we all got each other's backs and all that. And I started doing the Han Cholo gigs, and I guess Hollywood Undead needed someone to do some shows.
When was this?
The end of no, it was like 2018, okay. I think. Yeah, yeah, summer of 2018. So I ended up playing with them ever since. We did like Reading and Leeds, and
they tour a decent amount, right?
Yeah, it's great. Like, we had a big year lined up, a lot of festivals, another tour.
I think we were supposed to do a bunch of those with you guys, the festivals.
Yeah, hopefully we could get out there doing it again. And the shows are so fun. Yeah, because...
I don't think I had ever heard Hollywood Undead before we played with you guys. Like, you guys put on like one of the best shows. It's like so much fun.
It's
it's so hypey. Like, oh no, so exciting.
Like they have a great catalog of music, and you could tell that they've crafted an experience. You know, with all the songs they have.
I mean, it's been a while, right? Like, they've been going at it for a decent amount of time.
Totally,
so
and
they've been able to put it together pretty well.
Yeah, and it's always so cool seeing everyone just so excited to be there. And like, it's an honor to be a part of that, you know what I mean? Well, like, whatever you know, the band is, just like, because most of what I do is playing drums for artists or bands that are like already established or whatever. I haven't like started my own band, you know, but you know, I'm cool spreading the love, you know what I mean?
Right.
But it's an honor to like be chosen by whoever I play for, that
it's
they
cool,
that they trust me to do that for them.
Well, it's
you know?
Also sick that you're able to like you're clearly not like a one trick pony. You know what I mean? Like, you're not just a drummer that's gonna be a lifer with one thing because it's all you can do.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think a good thing for any like artist is like have your thing, like have your things that you do well.
Mm-hmm.
But just be open minded and be well rounded. But you don't need to be a specialist at everything necessarily, you know?
Right.
So, like, find the things that are you, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stuff you like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So, you're with Hollywood Undead in 2018, and then you're playing with a newer band now, right?
Yeah, Holy Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're all from around here. We just did a acoustic set on the We Found New Music page, just a live stream.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're great. It's Kat Leon and Nick Perez. They're the masterminds of Holy Wars. and they write everything. And
what kind of stuff is it?
It's like, I'd say like, it's like dark rock.
Okay.
Yeah. But not limited to, like, it's very expressive rock. Kat's really an amazing like front woman. She's really relatable to a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
In a lot of different ways.
Is there music out already for it?
Yeah, there's stuff everywhere.
I feel like I've
Holy
heard
Wars,
the name like
everyone
places,
like but... everyone always says like, oh, that Megadeth album or something. And like, I don't even know what they're talking about. Like, that might like knock my metal points down a little bit.
I know,
but...
dude, me too. And I'm like in a metal band.
I don't
really know much.
I guess I was into a certain style of metal. And
yeah.
That wasn't necessarily it.
Right.
No offense. But Holy Wars Music is their social media stuff. And Kat's also got a few other projects too. But I've got to play on the Mother Father EP from Holy Wars. And that's a really cool album. And
you guys
George Doom
too, right?
Mixed it, and yeah, we did a live stream at Beta Wave Studios for We Found New Music. And
was that like? What was that experience like? Is it weird? Just
that was actually
to play a show for.
That was actually my first show since the tour that we did that ended. So and it was kind of cool too because I played a kind of like a hybrid setup. I had my SPDS like sampler pad, and I loaded sounds into it and had shakers, and then I had a tambourine on my foot.
Okay.
So there was still, you know, like
the
shaker gives it that like human vibe, but then
because
normally I would bring a cajon
setup.
And same thing with that. I'll usually have, you know, a hand free to do a shaker, a pedal for the kick and the snare, and then the tambourine. But it's cool doing it with the electric pad.
Right.
So we did those songs in that format. And we didn't rehearse for it, too. We just, like, I mean, we rehearsed that day.
Right.
But it was cool to just kind of jump in and figure it out. And
nice.
I feel like the performance is kind of, you know, it does kind of capture that organic magic.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Totally.
So what's for the, I mean, do you have any future plans right now with anything? Or is everything just on hold for you, too?
Yeah, I still so I ran a lockout where I could practice and I can record in there. Mm-hmm. It's you know, if I record for people, like, I would much rather do it in a studio, because I like being, you know, in the environment where we can all be there and not have to worry about the
being
engineering
quiet
part of it.
And all that stuff.
Yeah, because, like, you know, I'm trying my best to get better at those skills, like the engineering and recording myself, and you know, MIDI programming and learning these music softwares. And that's a goal of mine, is to kind of use those as a medium to express myself.
Sure,
too.
Yeah.
And also to, yeah, create and see what happens, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's so many avenues that I feel like I can put myself. And yeah, during this quarantine, I've been playing a lot of golf, which is really cool.
Okay, that's tight.
Yeah.
I want to play golf.
Yeah, we could talk about that too. And
I was trying to find people to play golf with out here. I just didn't know anyone.
Yeah, like the best I've shot, I mean,
I don't play golf.
I've been playing DeBell a lot in Burbank, and I haven't beat a 95 yet. So it's a par 72.
Oh, dude, I will go nowhere near that.
Yeah, it's a par 72, and I got a 95, and I'm trying to beat that score. I'm trying to get in the 80s.
Well, if you need someone to follow you around.
No, totally. Through. Yeah. So, that's been a big interest of mine. I also have a Etsy store where I sell lip balm and candles.
I was going to get into that.
Yeah. It's
cause it's the best name ever.
Yeah. It's called Apocalypse. it's spelled,
so,
you know,
good.
Like LIPS for, lips. Cause it originally started as lip balm.
How did you end up doing this?
Another interest of mine that I've done, like, throughout the years is just like growing weed outside. And after every grow, I would do a coconut oil infusion with all the trimmings. So you know, you could bake with them. Or you know, coconut oil is so versatile. So I was kind of thinking, what else could I do with these creations besides just, like, you know, consuming it?
Right.
And my cousin actually is, like, super into, you know, she would always, like, make us personal care products for Christmas as, like, Christmas presents.
Yeah, so she knew how to do all that stuff.
Yeah. So I kind of, like, hit her up, and she kind of pointed me in the right direction in terms of where to get the info. So it originally started, I was just making weed lip balm and giving it to my friends, you know?
Yeah.
And, I started, like, getting into just the process of making lip balm. And, I kind of, like, left the weed stuff behind and just started making, like, regular ones. And
right. Yeah.
Making scented ones. And I had been, like, obsessed with formulating and trying to get the right consistency and, you know, especially for guys, because, like, you don't want it to be too glossy or...
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That was, like, the first time we actually hung out, you handed us lip balm. I'm trying to remember the scent or the flavor that you gave me.
Yeah, that one, I remember... I used... Like now I use a deodorized cocoa butter or cacao butter, but that one was really strong, so it probably tasted like chocolate or something like that.
I don't remember. I don't think it was chocolate. I thought it was like a mintier thing or something.
It could have been. Yeah. So I'm always experimenting, but yeah, right now I'm just kind of focusing on just a few because, you know, I could do infinite flavors and everything, but right. then, you know, you got to make labels and do all that. I mean, like it could all be done, but, yeah, just focusing on a few right now just makes it easier on me too.
Right.
Like when I make them.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. So it's all vegan, and if anyone's interested in purchasing them, they're on Etsy.
Yep.
And, yeah. So
I recommend it.
Yeah.
I
so
love it.
The Instagram is Apocalypse Bomb. At Apocalypse Bomb. Like I don't know, Joe can post a link somewhere.
Yeah,
or something.
Put it in the info.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
So yeah, there's a link on that to the store.
That's a lot of stuff, man.
Yeah, yeah. So. So yeah, never a dull moment, man. Like
no.
I'm never bored.
That's a lot that happened in like 10 years.
Yeah, I know it's super exciting and it's like in a really, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people can kind of relate, but, in a weird way, it's like nice to have a moment to, like pump the brakes on certain parts of life.
Yeah.
Just to kind of like, think outside of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that like,
well, now you, like you said, you're trying to like learn
production
stuff and everything.
Yeah, so it's kind of, you know, you just got to make the most of what you got too, and yeah, like
yeah.
I'm fortunate to be able to, you know, explore those interests and pursue my creative interests,
right?
Just to add value to what I could
yeah.
bring to whatever I'm involved with, you know.
Damn.
Yeah.
I just love how you just roll things into each other, though. It's like, oh, I was growing weed, and then yeah. I made lip balm, and
well, no, it's crazy how it's kind of all connected, and I feel like they're all just kind of extensions of myself, and I want to do things that reflect who I am, you know. And I'm also like getting in like more into cooking, you know, and yeah, just like. Certain life skills too. It's like important to be able to take care of yourself, you know.
Yeah. I love it, dude.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
you crack me up.
I don't know, man.
Oh, I love it. All right, yeah. Look, so I don't want to, unless you have one prepared, we don't have to. You gave me like 10 tour stories in there.
Okay,
we usually end with a tour story.
Yeah.
But if you already, if you've exhausted all of them, I would understand. So thank you for coming on.
Dude.
Are we missing anything you want to shout out before we wrap up? Socials, anything like that?
I did the Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm a, yeah, freelance dude. So I'm open to collaboration.
Yeah.
Like whatever that means to people. yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like
let's do some collaboration.
Yeah, my sister's hella dope. She is a choreographer and she does music videos, she does artist development. She does private
one-stop shop.
Yeah, yeah. If you're interested in that, she's got your back on that.
I love it.
You know.
All right.
Looking out for my family.
Yeah, it's great. All right. Well, thank you for coming on, man.
Dude, thank you. Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Joe.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Nolan, and this is the Corner of Gray Street podcast. As longtime Dave Matthews Band fans, we set out to create a podcast to dive deep into the past, present, and future of DMB.
Not only do we recap and review shows within an ongoing tour, but we revisit past shows from throughout the band's history, conduct interviews with a wide variety of guests with ties to DMB, and create unique and exclusive content like our Concerts on the Corner series.
Whether you're a fan of the band or just a fan of great music, we think you'll find something you'll enjoy. We can't wait to see you on the corner of Gray Street.